Okay, good morning. This past week, Daf was Daf from Gimel Maseches Erevin. First Daf in the fifth Perek in Erevin. This Daf, as everyone probably noticed, is pretty much completely in the category of Agadita. So a different kind of approach to this, different kind of Shir. But there's still much that we could learn from over here. Marsha, in the back of the Gemara, I don't know if your Gemara has, does your Gemara have the Marsha?
No.
This Gemara?
No. I've got one going.
Morning. I missed you last week.
Yeah, I miss you too. I try to send a little reminder. But I heard you had a ship from somewhere else, right? Oh, that was Jacoby. Very nice. Last week. Yeah, so today, since that this daf over here is all Agadita, so we're gonna maybe we'll learn together some of the marshals over here. The marshal in the back of Gemara is Chedushi Halochis and Chedushi Agodas. In the marshal, there's a different print in the marshal, right? On the smaller print in the marshal, and it's on the daf, but in the smaller print, which starts with Chesav, it's called Chedushi Agodas. This is the chedusha he said, chedusha that he was mechadish on the sugis that are agadito, agodo, nar halacha in that form that we have in the other parts of the mesecht. There are hilchos derech eretz, many things that we can learn from these sugis also. So let's see the gemara a little bit over here by us, and we'll see what the mashal talks about on these gemaras. The more by us over here, the mission says Ketzer Ma'abrin, which is discussing setting up the size of the city itself, and based on that, we'll start measuring the tchum. So the mission uses Lashon Ketzer Ma'abrin. It's referring to an extension, extending the city to set the size of the city itself. So that's the first Gemara over here, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Lashon of what's the Begiris in the Mishnah, Ma'abrin, with an Ayin, with an Aleph, Isha Ubra, Evorim. And the Gemara continues, Rashi tells us that being that we're discussing these kind of Shilas, that's how the next Inyan comes in. The Pasuk says, calls it Ma'oras HaMachpelah. That's the Gemara is dining on him. Ma'oras HaMachpelah. The double cave, maybe, as the Taj. Rav Shmuel Charoma Shnei Batin Zeh Lefnimi Zeh. What was this? It was Shnei Batim, two rooms, one within another room. There was an in room and an outer room. And what Mandomer says that it was a ground floor with a second floor on top of it. Now the Gemara says, "Bishlam Mandomer zal gav ze haino machpelum," that this set the pasuk describes it as machpela double. If you understand that it's Zeh Gav Zeh, one on top of the other, two floors, that would justify this that it was called Machpelah. And the Omar, Shnei Batim, Zeh Fem Yizeh, my Machpelah. Why is it referred to as Machpelah? The Gemara understands that if it was one on top of the other, that's Machpelah, a double, one on top of the other. But if it's one within the other, the Gemara doesn't understand why why it should be referred to as Machpela. And that the Gemara says, Shekfulo Bezugus. According to the Machpela has a different reference, right? It's referring to something else. Shekfulo Bezugus. The peers that were buried there. Rashi says, Shekfulo Bezugus. Shenikbru Kulon Ish Ve'ishtoi. That there were the people that were buried there were peers, ish ve'ishtoi, tahenu zug zug, tachsiv shama meis kovros Avram v'sara v'goyimer. As the pasuk says, that the others were buried there. Kshekfula bezugus. This piece of Gemara over here. Now let's see the Gemara show. Talks on this Gemara. Here, we're going to see the Marsha a few lines in. See that where there's a dot around five lines down where he says V'yesh l'daktik.
Yeah.
V'yesh l'daktik. Masha asks that we could ask a question over here. Given the Milas Machpela Einoi Soivel the Farish Al Beis Batim Zulufnimizu, being that the word Machpela, the double, wouldn't be explained with this, that it was one room within another room. That's what the Gemara says, right? Ad Shahutzuch Loimeshik full of bazugas. To the extent that the Gemara said, according to that Manda Omar, what is the implication of Machpela? It refers to something else. So we see from the Gemara that Machpela doesn't refer at all to the one room being in you know, inner to another room. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, so where does this come from? You know, so it would seem to be, the Gemara starts off by saying, Maras Machpela, Rav and Shmuel, one says, you know, it was like this, one says like that. It would seem to be this is the explanation of Machpela. But as the Gemara goes on, the Gemara says that Machpela is not referring to one room within another room. And then the Gemara says, according to them, Amda Amar, what is Machpela? It means Kful Bezugas. So then the question is, so where did we get this idea that it was one room within another room? Maras Machpela means Kful Bezugas. That we have, you know, the peers of people that were buried there, but the fact that there was two rooms, where does that come from?
Yes. So in that case, why is one on top of the other better?
No, because according to that Manda Omar, that's what Kfula means. Machpela means it was a two-story building. That's what the word Machpela means. So that's where he got it from, right? That the Pasuk means, says. So according to that Manda Omar, it's very understandable. But the question is, according to the Manda Omar who says that there's one room within another room, the question is, where does he know that from? The Gemara says that according to him, Machpela doesn't refer to that. That's the Gemara's question. According to him, what does Machpela mean? So Machpela doesn't refer to that. Machpela refers to the fact that they were buried over there, peers. Couples were buried there. Okay, fine. So that's what it means. Maras Machpela means the cave that the couples were buried in. Okay, now, do we have two rooms there? How do you know the two rooms? Where does that come from? And that's what Marshall is asking over here. V'tzoruch loimar, Marshall says that we have to say divadai lav b'milas machpela pligi. At the beginning of the Gemara, the Gemara starts, Maras Machpela, Rav Amar Azoi, Charo Amar Azoi, Charo Amar Azoi. They're not arguing in how to translate Machpela. What does Machpela refer to? As the Gemara continues, right? Elo, kol chan minayu oimer heich hoisa hama'or lefi kabalosi. This is how we read the Gemara, right? Mashal is telling us how to read the Gemara. As he's telling us like this, that we would have thought to read the Gemara, Maras HaMachpelo, what does it refer to the fact that it's Machpelo? It's Melchek Zerav and Shmuel. One says it refers to the fact that it's Kofel this way, Kofel that way. But as the Gemara continues, that you see, like Mashal is asking, that's obviously not what it means, because the Gemara says that the Kfelos is not explained with one house in front of the other. Right? So the Gemara has the Gemara continues. So therefore, we have to translate the Gemara differently. When the Gemara says Maras HaMachpelo, it's not a Machlekes how to translate what Machpela means. The question is, what was it? Right? Where did that come from? Zokta Masha, they had a Kabbalah from the Rabbeim what it was. Right? But it wasn't derived from the pasuk. That's what Mashal is saying over here. The Vaday Lav b'milas Machpela Pligi. They're not arguing, Rav and Shmuel, in what the implication of Machpela is. El Kol Chaminayu, each one of the two mandarim, Oimer Heichoisa Hamaoro Lefi Kabbalosa. What it looked like according to his Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, how it was handed down. Now, the Talmud Aparich, now the Gemara is asking like this, Lefi Kabbalas Misha Omer, Ze Agav Ze, according to this Kabbalah, according to this tradition that he had, that it was one happened the other, Nicha Milas Machpela, according to him, we understand that the word Machpela is describing that the construction that he's saying how it was. According to him, what is the word Machpela coming to explain? So that's what Mashal explains how we have to learn the Gemara. That Gemara starts off that each one is saying what he's in Kabbalah from his Rambam, what it looked like. He says like this, and he says like that, but not necessarily based on or learned out of the word Machpela. And that Gemara goes back, and Gemara says, well, okay, this is the two views of how it is. So according to this man, Omar, so that explanation in the pasuk, when the pasuk calls the Masmach Pela because this is how it was constructed. According to the other man, Omar, that it was the way it was constructed doesn't fit with the word Machpela. So why does the Torah call Machpela? That Gemara says in Nachanami for a different reason. But in Nachanami, if you want to know the according to man, Omar, that it was one room from within another room, where does he know this from? In Nachanami, that's not from the word Machpela. That was the Kabbalah that they had. That's what it was. Okay, that's the first point my show helps us in the Gemara. Right? This is, you know, what they call a leaning question, right? A reading. It doesn't read. If you read the Gemara, right, there's a question that should...
Are they saying that Machpela couldn't mean one within the other?
That that's the fact in the Gemara, right? That's clear in the Gemara, right? Exactly why, you have to know, right? But that's what it says in the Gemara, right? That's an accepted fact in the Gemara. So we're asking, if that's an accepted fact in the Gemara, and according to them, under Omar, the word Machpelah refers to the fact that couples were buried there. So where does he know this, that it was one within the other? Uh-huh. That's the Gemara.
So then
saying.
The answer is the Talmud.
It's a Kabbalah, right? Kabbalah was handed down right from generation. That's how it was. Okay. Now let's see the next piece of Gemara. Next piece of Gemara is as follows: Mamre Kiryas Arba. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Kiryas HaArba Zugos. This was Kirya, a city, a place of Arba Zugos. The four couples of the Mechado, Avraham Asor, Yitzchok Rivka, Yaakov Aleya. So this Gemara over here is explaining over here, Mamre Kiryas HaArba, right, referring to the four couples. Now, Mashal makes an interesting observation over here. Let's see the Mashal over here. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Yeah. Mashal says as follows: Rashi b'chumish hevid Rash ze akro de parshas Chayisol. In Chumash, right, we're familiar with this drasha that Mora brings, but Rashi in Chumash brings it in the pasuk in Parshas Chayisor. It says, "Vatomasara bekiyas arba." Right on that pasuk, "Tomasara bekiyas arba." Rashi mentions it over there. Who are Pibreshis Rabba? There's a medrash over there. Avol Talmuda dehocho, hevi kro the parshas vayishlach. This is a different pasuk over here, right? The Or Gemara is bringing a pasuk a few parshas later. In Parshas Vayishlach, it says, "Vayovai Yaakov el Yitzchok Aviv, Mamre Kiryas HaArba." Yaakov Avinu was returning back from the base Lavan, and he says that he came to Yitzchok Aviv, Mamre Kiryas HaArba. That's our pasuk, right? That the Gemara brings, Mamre Kiryas HaArba. And the question that Mashal wants to know is that why is the Gemara by us first darshing this sukkim later? At the first pasuk, like Rashi brings in the Chumash, should have been the place. So Masha says as follows: Benir Mishum the Bekod Pashas Chayesorim, the Pasuk in Pashas Chayesorim, Yesh the Farish Boy. You could translate the Pasuk differently. In other words, that what's forcing Chazal to make this drasha, other than what simple pshat in the Pasuk would have been, there's a difference between the way the pilot Pasuk expresses it here and there. And therefore he says this: the Pasuk in Pashas Chayesorim, it says, "Vatomasor bekiryas arba." That's the pasuk says. Yesh lefarish boy kiryas ish sheshmoy arba. We could have translated the pasuk simply, "Vatomasor she died bekiryas arba," in the city of Arba, referred to the person whose name was Arba. That was the name of the person. Kiryas ish, a city of the man, sheshmoy arba. Vuhu hoya avi hoanokim. He was the father of the giants. Kimashmai Saksuvim the Sefer Yeshua, and the Psukim in Sefer Yeshua, when they discuss this place with the giants, it would be mashm like that. Tachsiv Vishom Chevrain Lifnim Kiryas Arba. Originally it was cool Kiryas Arba. Aviha Anok, the father of the giant. So the Pasuk in Parshas Chayesorim doesn't justify a drosha yet, because there's nothing in the Pasuk which implies something different than the simple pshat. So therefore the Chazal that we have by us, who are making the drosha, don't take it out of that Pasuk. Aval ha'ikra l'parshas v'yishlach, but the Pasuk over here in Parshas v'yishlach, the Agmor is darshin, d'chsiv ho'arba, it says in the Pasuk, v'yova yanka v'yitzchok oviv marmiyei kiyos ho'arba. It says ho'arba, which is a little interesting because Agi Mora doesn't have the hay, right? I mean, it's not meduy because there's a hay in the pasuk, but where the Mashra is learning that the whole drasha has come from the hay, it's interesting how when they printed it in the Gemara, they left that out. But the Mashra is telling us that what's suggesting the drasha, other than Pashup Shat, that it was the name of a person, the fact that it says Mamre Kiyas ho'arba. The hay over here, Masho says.
The Rabbi Yitzchak adds it here. Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiryas Ha'arba, he adds it.
Yeah, well, see, actually, the Pasuk itself has the hay there, right? Right. If you look in the Pasuk, Mamre Kiryas Ha'arba, the Pasuk, the Gemara itself by us, right, in the Vilna Shas, they left out the hay for some reason. But in the Pasuk itself, if you look over there in Parshas Vayishlach, there's the hay in the Pasuk, right? Right? Kiyas ho'arba, but you're right. That's the drasha. That's what Masha is saying. That the drasha is from the fact that there's a hay over here, and the Masha says, "Dechsiv ho'arba behei hayediyah." Right? The hay hayediyah, right, is a hay in front of her, which refers to some known thing, some famous dover mafursim. Here, already Lech Lefarish came. Over here, you can't translate that's referring to a person, the name of the person. Kishem ho'etzem le'savoy boy hay hayediyah. Because when we're talking about in a name of something, intrinsic name of something, the idea is not justified. Va'al kem pirshu ha'arba hu shem ha'mispor. Arba over here must refer to a number. U'pirish shem ha'mokim mamre hu kirya. The place is mamre. Hu kirya. This is a city. Shesham nikbru dalid zugos ha'yiduim. That the famous four couples were paired over here. That's what the hey idea is referring to. So the Masha explains to us that there is such a drasha, but what forces the drasha is not simply the fact that it's called Kiryas Arba, because Kiryas Arba could have been understood in a simple way that it's referring to that's the name of the person, and the way the pasuk expresses it, which is mechayiv, which forces the drasha, is really the pasuk first in Parshas Vayishlach, which Agi Mora brings. Like that's Masha explains over here. Now, I mean, in the Pshat and Rashi could be that, of course, once the Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, right, that's how you could have understood the rest of the Rashi. What the Rashi comes in. And as Rashi explains this now, because once the Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach says that, so that's today what it means. We wouldn't have said it just Mikoyach the Pasuk in Parshas Chayesorah. That's true, that's not the source. Right? But once the pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach later already says that justifies what Rashi says it over here. That could have been how you understand it. But this is an interesting diktuk that you see in the Marshal. You know, when he went through the Gaza Gemaras, everything made a difference to him. You know, nothing was lost. You know, it didn't go any faster, these Gemaras, than anything else. You know, he went it up and he saw what it says. And he raised the question. Okay. Let's see the next piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara is as follows. This is by the Muhammad Hamlochim in the times of Avraham Avinu, four kings and the five kings. Light was captured. That mice over there. Rav Ushmol, Chad Omar Nimrod Shmoy. His name, the true name was Nimrod. This was Nimrod, this Amrophel over here. Vulom Nikshma Amrophel. And the name Amrophel was just a nickname to describe him, but it wasn't actually his name. Why was he referred to as Amrophel? Sha'amav Hippol Avraham Avinu Tzakiv Shana'esh. Because he was the person that commanded that Avraham Avinu should be thrown into the Kiv Shana'esh. Chad Omar. And what Mandor says, Amrophel Shmoy. His true name was Amrophel. He was called Nimrod, Lashon of Merida, to rebel, that he caused the world to rebel against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So there's a Gemara over here which assumes that they're the same people. Nimrod and Amroph are the same people. Right? The question just is, you know, what was the real name and what was the nickname? Right? What was the name which was given to him to describe what he did?
What's the literal touch of Amrophel? He says that he
I mean, the Gemara is saying that it's like an Etrican, right? Omar Pol, right? That's how the Gemara says it. I mean, I don't know if it's a little translation, but, right? That's how the Gemara is, right? An Etrican, right?
It seems to be a more revealing of
I mean, name. It's clear that it's that this Omar. Idea, okay?
I was wondering that what is Amrophel? So he said Omar Paul.
Right, Omar Paul. Oh, right.
Omar.
Mm-hmm. So there's an assumption in the Gemara over here that they're the same person, but the Gemara doesn't tell us where that comes from. Right? Where does this assumption come from? That's it, Marshall. You see the mashal over here, it starts with Maskel Nimrod Shmoy. You see where that is?
Yeah.
Nimrod Shmoy. The Parshas Lech Lecha Pirsha Re'em. Parshas Lech Lecha, the Re'em explains Shehivia Muloimar. What brought Chazal to say, Hu Nimrod, Hu Amrophel, Ve'echot Shem Ha'etzem, Ve'echot Shem Ha'toyer. What brought Chazal to this assumption that they're the same person, and then we have to go explain what's the real name, what's the Shem HaTorah, what's the descriptive name, who said they're the same person? Dechsiv, the Re'im says as follows, Dechsiv ben Nimrod, by Nimrod the Post says as follows, Vatihi reishis mamlachtoi be'eretz Shinor. It says that Nimrod, the first place where he ruled was in Shinor. Uchsiv, there's another Post, Vahi be'am rofel melech Shinor. Right, so we know that Nimrod ruled in Shinar. Amrophel was the king of Shinar. Ein Shom. So that's what Chazal equated, that, you know, these two people, these two names ruled in Shinar, that would seem to be that they're the same person. That's how the Re'im explains where the assumption of this Chazal comes from. And that Marshal says, Ve'ein ze muchruch. That Marshal says doesn't really force us to say that. The Ikula Meimar, we could very well say, Sha'acha Shemes Nimrod b'malchusoy b'shinor. You know, maybe they were king one after the other. They ruled in the same place, not the same person. Sure. Maybe after Nimrod died, Achakach, Molach Achakach, Shom Amrophel. Amrophel was the next king. Right? So that says that the way the Re'im explains this is that, you know, we could question whether that's enough of a reason for us to assume that they're actually the same person. True that they ruled in the same place, but doesn't mean they have to be the same person. Maybe they live one after the other. Aval Hanire. So Mashal is going to say his own explanation now. Where this assumption Chazal is. Avhal anira lefish omah hakosuv benimrod. The pasuk says by Nimrod as follows: Hu heichel yis gibur tzayid. He started to be the mighty one. He explains what that means. Shapir shuhu haya hamaschil lilchem muhammad's ba'olam. He was the first one who started this idea of war, making a war in the world. He was the first one. That's what it means. Who hischil liyah is gibert zayid. Now v'hakosuv loybo listoim ele lefarish. Now when the pasuk tells us this, so the pasuk is coming to reveal something to us. Since the first war, which is mentioned in the Torah, is this Muhammad of the Dal Melachim, Ukidamim et Tanchuma, and as the Medrash Tanchuma says, Cherev Pischu Rishonim, Elu Dal Melachim, Amrofel, Shadayim, this is what the Cherev Pischu Rishonim, since it's a posik, right, that Rishonim opened up Cherev. There was never a war before in the world. They opened the concept of war. And the one who seems to be who initiated it was Amrofel. It was in the days of Amrofel. Then Masho says that from the way that the Torah sets it up for us, Me'am Rafa, will seem to be that he was the initiator of this Muhammad. Nimtza, the Nimrod, Akochach, Ram Rafael. So this is where Chazal saw that Nimrod is Am Rafael. Shehischil bil Muhammad. He was the one who started the war. So again, so when the Torah talks about Nimrod, the Torah describes him as who Hochel Liyaz Gibbert Zayed, which means that he's the first one who started initiating the idea of war of Muhammad. And the Torah, when it describes the Muhammad, this is the first Muhammad that was. And the initiator of that Muhammad, the Torah calls Amrofel. So that's where Chazal saw that must be the same person over here, and just two different names. And therefore, that's the Chazal discuss what was the real name and what was the description of him. Right, so that's how Marsha explains what forced Chazal to this assumption that Nimrod and Amrofel are the same person. Okay, now let's see another piece of Gemara over here. Yeah.
Why can't we say Nimrod started the first war, but Amrofel was continued by a third in the same?
Well, you see, Marshal brings from us over here that when the Torah talks about this war, Chazal tells us this was the first war that there was.
Okay. And what's the proof of that?
How do you know that? I mean, you have to look in this Tanchuma. He brings a Medrash Tanchuma, which darshens the pasuk, Cherev Pischu Rishonim, that the concept of Cherev was started by Rishon Elul Dalid Malachim. Right? Okay. Right? It's a Tanchuma. Measure we have to look over there. I'll just mention over here this next Chazal over here, Vayokom Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim. Vayokom Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yod Asi Yosef, the pasuk says. Rav Shmuel Chad Omer Chodesh Mamish V'Chad Omer Shenizchad Shu Gzeir Yosef. Right, so Machlek is over here. The Melech Chodesh, a new king, arose on Mitzrayim. Was he actually a new king that the previous one died? Or it wasn't a new king, but Shenizchad Shu Gzeir Yosef, his decrees were new. Man to Omar Chodesh Mamish or Sif Chodesh. Right? The one who says Chodesh Mamish translates the Pasik Kipshuta, as it would imply. Man to Omar Shenizchad Shu Gzeir Yosef. Why does he say that? Why does he go away from the simple implication of the Pasik? doesn't talk about the previous king dying, like we find in other places it does. So that would imply that it wasn't, that wasn't simply what happened over here.
Where do you see previous places that it said that a king died?
Well, if you look over there in the Taka says over there, when it talks about Chiz by the Molochim of Chiz Shmuel and Esav, you know, over there, right? Vayomas, Vayimlach, Vayomas, Yimlach, you know, all those places, it talks about that.
One of the kasha should be the other way, is that if it says that the new king came, so why do you have to say that you must be other king? In other words, that would
Okay, that's true. That's true. But I mean, Chazal are understanding that, you know, now that's the way the Torah does do it. You're right. It's a good question. But taking from the way the Torah does talk, that seems to be how it's done, right? It could be that if you work things out, maybe, you know, you could. But luchur, that's what we mean to say, right? So the Gemara says, "Maman d'om shen schachuk zei roisov, hokzer shel yodas yosef." The pasuk, there's a second implication over here, which apparently would sound like he must be a real new king. Shel yodas yosef. I mean, the previous king definitely knew Yosef.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting that the Gemara seems to have accepted that if he was a new king, then we understand Shel Yoda as Yosef, right? You know, even that is a little, you know, questionable. Where did he come from? But the Gemara definitely.
He wasn't a direct beneficiary.
What?
He wasn't a direct beneficiary. The power that we know was, you know, Yosef helped him.
Yeah, I'm saying the implication of Yodas Yosef is he didn't know him at all. I mean, anyone who was living in Mitzrayim probably knew Yosef, right? I mean, let's say some kind of, right? You know, it's a little
the whole wealth, the whole strength of Mitzrayim was become because of Yosef.
Right, but it means he didn't know him personally.
Didn't know him personally? Okay. But the Gemara understands. I mean, definitely the previous Pari, definitely, you know, was very close with Yosef. So that's why the Gemara is saying that how do you understand that? So the Gemara says, "The domi kiman de la yod li Yosef klal." Right, the way he conducted himself as if he didn't know of Yosef at all. And in actually, you know, that was in the schachu gzei Yosef, right? That his decrees were new, and this is the famous Chazal that we're more or less aware of, that. And at the time of the Gzeir Havanas Chakmaloi, so the truth is that this is the beginning of Parsha Shmos over there, that the advisors of Pari were concerned that Klal Yisrael was growing, and they were concerned that Mitzrayim was in danger, right? And therefore, they wanted to have these decrees against the Yidden. And Paray, at that point, you know, who his seichel was working properly, and he appreciated this that Yosef did and saved the whole Mitzrayim. So he wasn't in agreement with them at the time. But they apparently had a greater power than they did, and they took him down from his position. Yorad Mikisa Gimel Chadoshim for 3 months. You know, they took away the power for him because he didn't agree with them, and because of the political pressure, he changed his ideas, and they took him back as king. So that's what this Nischashuk Zeroyis, and that's what's actually Yodas Yosef. Also, Atz Mikilo Yodlo Yodas Yosef, and that's what Chazal tell us what it was. It's interesting to see that even Pari himself originally, you know, saw and understood that, you know, to deal with such a nation that really saved the whole country is contrary to proper thinking. But as we know, political pressure has the ability to change people from thinking properly.
What was the political pressure?
They took him down from his position as king. All right. That's what happened. And the Chazal tell us, right, that they Yor Megdulos Gimel Chadoshim. 3 months, right? I guess that he didn't have right, the power of the king wasn't what do they call it? You know, it wasn't an absolute power, right? They you know, they had some kind of Para now. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now let's see a little further over here. The Gemara a little further over here tells us some interesting things. Gives us a little idea, or maybe it tells us how little of an idea we have, right, to understand and to understanding of the wisdom of Chazal, of the Torah. Sure. Let's see over here. The Gemara says as follows. We'll pick up over here. The Gemara says, "Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Liban shel Rishonim." You see where that is? I'm trying to give you an address on this. You see where it is over here?
No.
It's around here. You see the bottom half of the Omar where the lines are wider.
Yeah.
So it's around halfway over there, halfway down. The word on the line starts with the word Daitai.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yeah.
Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Liban shel Rishonim kepischei shelulim." The heart of Rishonim of the earlier generation is like the size, like the opening of the ulam. Now, the ulam was the opening of the Beis Hamikdash when it was in the form of a Beis Hamikdash. Shalachren kepischei shel heichel. And Shlachoin was Kepesach Shal Heichel, that was the opening of the Heichel over there, which was the Kodesh, which was a smaller opening. One was 20 Amis wide, that was the Ulam, and the Heichel was 10. So he's describing the Yeridus Hadaris, that the original, the earlier generations, their lave. And we'll see what that's referring to. Understanding of Torah was open wide, kepischei shel ulam. The next generation, or generation after that, was already half the size, kepischei shel heichel. Va'anu, and Rabbi Yochanan is talking over here, kimloi nekev machat sidkis. And in the proportion to what we're discussing now, our lave, our concepts, our understanding, our havana, is kimloi nekev machat sidkis. Is like the opening of a machat of a needle, a machat sidkis, a needle, a certain kind of needle that was used to sew. So, right? So the needle that you put the thread in is pretty tiny, right? Somewhere in the centimeter, probably numbers over there. Rashi says, Machas Sidkis means, Machas Shetofim Bas Sidke Begodim. A needle which is used, Sedek is like a crack, right? A rip in a baguette, right? So the needle that you use to sew together, you know, so you can imagine the size of that hole over there is pretty thin. The hudak b'yoser. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that, you know, so many hundreds of times smaller than the Liban shel Rishonim. Now the Gemara tells us to Rishonim over here what generations are we referring to? Rishonim Rabbi Kiva. The Rishonim that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to, that their lave, their heart was pasuach pischei shel ulam, is Rabbi Kiva. Achroinim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamu. These are tanoim, and that Rabbi Yochanan said that us, our generation of Amiroim, is already so much smaller, so much limited. Right? It's amazing how, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan was Amura, right? Old Tamil Yishalmi, Birchenen, old Shas, right? And Birchenen is saying that how he compared to the earlier ones, like the size of a needle, right? You know, so when we think, you know, when in our learning, you know, if we have, you know, our generations, previous generations, big Gedolim, you know, who knew Kolter Kula, but, you know, but even all that is nothing compared to what there is. Because Rabbi Yechon is saying, on Rabbi Yechon, he's saying that his is, you know, just a minute, right? The pischa, his the psichas alev that he had compared to the previous ones. Right? So therefore, when it helps us a little bit when we approach our learning and, you know, have a Gemara, right? And just look at it with, you know, with the proper perspective. We're talking about people that you know, that we're in the dark, right? We're almost in the dark, you know, at our best, you know, compared to them. So we have to work and understand, you know, something that we don't seem to understand, obviously, that the chesaron, what's missing is in us, right? And we have to try to apply ourselves to something which we know that's the MS, in as much as it might be seem like it's so off, but what's off is really, it's us rather than... Now let's see. That's the first lashon in the Gemara. Ika da Amri v'shein rabbozman shemua. As Ika da Amri, it says that the first generation that we're talking about wasn't even Rabbi Akiva. It was the next generation. Rabbozman shemua. Achrim zir b'oishia b'ribi. V'onu kimloy nekev machad tzidkis. Omer Abaye. Now Abaye talking over here, right? Abaye v'anan kisichto begudo l'gemara. Abaye says that us, referring to his generation, ki sichta begud al gemara, concerning gemara, we are like ki sichta begud, like a peg in the wall. Rashi explains. You see the Rashi over here? Ki sichta begud al gemara, ki yosid, like a peg, shenayitz naisei bekoisel, that we force it into the wall, bang it into the wall, benekev tzar, in a small hole, v'nichnes b'doichek, and with very difficult, it gets in there. Right? You have a small hole. I want something to hold. Steadfast, you gotta bang it in, because right? it's the hole is very small. Right? So as you push it in, like, you know, you're just squeezing it in. Kach on ein on yochem lahovin masha onu shaymin. We can't. We have a very difficult time understanding what we're hearing, ki ima'at uvekoshi. From what we hear from the previous generations, we only understand a little bit uvekoshi, with difficulty. After we work on it a lot, we finally get to understand just a small amount really that's given over to us. This is again a Abaye talking over here. Right? The Abaye v'Rova. The Havayis Abaye v'Rova. The Gemara, I mean, right, talking over here, right, he's describing the difficulty that they have, right? Halavai, we should have their difficulties, right? But again, right, this puts things into perspective a little bit to see exactly where we come in. Or maybe better yet, we don't come in, right? But, Omar Rova, that's Abaya, Omar Rova, Banan ki etzpa bikira l'sforo. Concerning Sforo, we are compared to etzpa, like a finger, bikira, in wax. Rashi says over here, ke etzpa bikira, b'shaiva kosher, hard wax. Shein ha'etzpa yochol likones b'soicha. You put your finger, try to get it into hard wax, doesn't go in. Elam medabik ba'at, ma'at. It, you know, it just, you know, attaches on a little bit, but that doesn't go in at all. See, saying concerning svara, right? How do we accept svara? Going in doesn't go in at all. Right? Just, you know, attaches us to a little bit. Medabik ba'at, ma'at. That's how Abaye is describing the concept of svara, how he feels that compared to the previous generations, what it really should be, his attachment to svara is very, very little, like this marshal. Omer Avashi says, "Anan ki etzpa bebir l'shikcha." Concerning forgetting, right? Avashi talking over here. Ki etzba bebir l'shikcha, like a finger in a hole. Rashi says, ki etzba bebir l'shikcha, k'shem sho etzba noyach likhanes b'fi habor. Just like it's very easy for a finger to enter a bor, right? It's a hole, right? You finger right in, nothing stopping it. Kachanu mihir l'shikoyach. So too, we're very quick to forget. Right? This is Rashi talking over here. Right? Right, you know, so on the one hand, like, you know, we hear this and we feel, okay, you know, I'm not the only one, but right, but on the other hand, right, it's hard to say that, you know, to put ourselves on the same bench as Ravashi, right? So if he's talking about his forgetting, describing like that, so you can whatever we're suffering from, right, is again many, many times worlds away from that. Now let's see over here.
What was the point of mentioning all this?
What was the point, or where does it come into the Gemara?
No, why mention it? Talking about the weakening and the Schwachkeit.
Well, I mean, I think we could understand it like the point that we mentioned before, is that therefore when you're relating to something which was said over from the previous generation. Even though to oneself he might think that it's off and it's, you know, it doesn't make sense and things like that, but knowing, once you know this, so you know that, you know, the one whose tuning is off is not the previous one. It's you know, it's the later generations, right? So we relate to what the previous chachamim tell us in a different way. I mean, we know that Chazal and Taka say such a thing. That right, al toser mikash yilcha yomin usmoil. The pasuk says right. Even they tell you a yomin shachosh usmoil. Right. Even they tell you something which seemingly to you is the opposite. Yeah? Now we get a little idea what that means. It's taka very possible because, you know, our judgment and our understanding and where we see things is really not really not straight. It's not straight, you know. A person who's you know, his glasses are the wrong prescription. You know, even though he's looking through glasses, this is what I see. But you know, you're not using the right glasses, so you're not going to see the right thing. It's not that important. You know, a lot of times when we see things, you know, especially if you know, at first glance, or we don't put work into it, you know, we get assumptions and we take positions on certain things. Right? We have to realize that, you know, that all these things that come from Chazan, you know, it's things which require deeper understanding, and we can't take things at first glance. We can't form opinions and decisions, you know, on our own, you know, without, you know, we really have to see how the previous, and, you know, the Talmud Chacham and the previous generations understood and how they handed it down. And even if after we hear that, we don't really see it, but, you know, we have to realize that the Chesaron is in us, not in them. And Chas V'Shalom to feel that, you know, we can contend and we have an opinion, you know, equal to anyone else. Right, I mean, this is something that unfortunately you find in other areas, that there are people that don't have the proper understanding. They feel that they could contend and give their opinions and, you know, and decide things based on their knowledge. Right, so that's what this Chazal tells us over here, that you know, that's a bad mistake. Okay, let's just see over here this one mashal here. Mashal over here, kepischei shel ulam. Kepischei shel ulam. You see what that is? Mashal, kepischei shel ulam. Mashal is going to tell us over here that this chazal, that chazal used this mashal, parable over here of the Pesach of an ulam is not just, you know, just to give us, you know, different sizes, but there's something more in that. Midame oimik, depth, v'chidah halev, the sharpness of the heart, lepesach v'cholol, to an opening. Not mechalal refers to that, you know, the ear space. Ukedamrim beperakam de Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos talks like this. V'lev melochim ein chekem, a pasuk. The heart of a melech ein chekem, something that we can't investigate, we can't total. The Gemara says, "Ein maspikim lichtev chalolo shel roshos." Right, it refers to the depth of the heart of a melech, of a ruler, as chlal, as an opening. Dehainu pesach v'chlal libon, the opening refers to the wideness, breakout of their heart, of the lave, and that's where the understanding lies, in the heart. Medama hocha pesach libon shel rishonim ku'ulon, and over here in Agamora, we're comparing the opening of the lave of the early generation to that of the ulam, shohya pesach u'chlal kofol k'shel achrayim, which was double the size of the next generation, shaloi hoi rak pesach heichel. Gam nokad ulam v'heichel. Marsha says something interesting over here. And this that Chazal chose ulam and heichel, shemedama chlal u'pesach libon, the wideness, the opening of the heart, shel chachomim u'kdoishim ha'edu, these chachomim shohoi mechlal asuir g'malchus, the psochim haktoishim. That there's an intention over here that Chazal have, that we're talking about these people, these Kivan, Loz, and Shemua, they were part of the Asur Harugi Malchus, that, you know, aside from the Chochma that they had, but they were Kedoshe Elyon. And therefore, it's very, it's applicable, when we're talking about the Pesach Kedoshim of the Beis HaMikdash itself, to describe their leiv with this aspect of a Pesach of Kedusha. We'll just see one more over here, okay? Omar Rava, right? Abai and Rava both gave an expression. Mashal's Medayak, that each one really is talking about, and one talks about Gemara, and one talks about Sforum. Zot Mashal, Omar Rava, Ananava, Abai and Rava bidor echor hoyu. They both lived in the same generation. So they weren't talking about describing the Yeridas Hadoris over here. You know, they each one gives a different mashal. Right? They weren't describing Yeridas because they both lived in the same generation. Ela Shabbai Nokad Ligimoro. No, actually talking about two different things, two different aspects of learning Torah. Abai Nokad Ligimoro, the Haina Mashakibu Meraboisov, things that was handed down, his Rebbe taught him. Sha'ide Torah Godol v'chazor kam upon him with much toil, much work, for chazora kama pa'amim, and reviewing many times, zoicher, to remember, v'lo yovel de shikcho, and that's the only way that a person won't come to forget. Kimoy ha'yosir hazeh, just like this peg, shebetorech, aide hako, al roishoy, with effort, with tircho, by hitting it on the head many times, v'ois enekev v'koysel, v'nichnez boy. Right, so Marsha is saying that Rava's come and tell us that things that were given over, so it was something which was already given over. Right? That's how the Marsha explains what this is. But so it's not even so much of a question necessary to figure it out, but just to remember it, to hold on to it. He says that the Marsha is like that peg that has to be banged on many, many times through Chazor in order that it should stay steadfast in the wall. Aval Rava Nakal is Svara. Rava was referring to a different thing, Svara. Dahainu Masha Adam Loibim Misvaras Halev. That's something that a person comes through his own understanding. Hu Kosha Yoiser. That's much more difficult. That's why his marshal is something which the finger in the wax, which doesn't even go in at all, much, much, much less. Because he's referring to something else, something Misvaras Halev. Hu Kosha Yoiser, Ketzba Bikira. Shein oisa nekav klav, en nechem tesuch el medapik ma'atu v'koyshi, kipir shashi. Because he's talking about Svara. It means what he's saying is like this. That's something which was Gemara, Kabbalah, Rabbeisav. So the concept is there already. You're not developing the concept. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there is a great difficulty in retaining it. Right? You hear it, and you know, then it's gone. But to have it really there, you need a chazora, which is nimshal to the banging of the peg. But if you do it many times, you know, it'll stay. But Abayim was talking about svara, something a person develops and understands on his own. That he says something like that, even in this generation, that he says that we're very far away from that. And, you know, as much as we try and we plug and we push, but to get in, we don't even reach there. It's medabek ma'at. It's just, you know, the concepts attached themselves to our mind just a little bit, but not more than that. All right, let's talk, everyone.